and a good Thursday morning to you. Welcome into the Nick Craig Show, streaming live this morning on YouTube, Rumble, X, and Facebook. Don't forget that you can take the show with you 24/7 on demand by checking out the Nick Craig Show in your favorite podcast app. You can also listen online by visiting the website nickcraig.com, and encourage you to spread the show around, send it to friends, coworkers, anybody that is politically aligned. Keep up to date with what's going on across Southeastern North Carolina, the state as a whole, and of course our discussion on what is going on up at the federal government. And we'll get into a pretty interesting announcement from the FAA and Secretary Sean Duffy of the Department of Transportation. We'll get into that coming up in just a couple of minutes. But I did want to open the show with, of course, continued coverage of election night 2025. As if you did not catch yesterday's podcast, if you didn't catch yesterday's show, I'd encourage you to go listen to it. You can find it in all your favorite podcast apps. It's on YouTube, Rumble, and all of those other places. Just visit nickcraig.com. And predictably, of course, in the immediate aftermath of the election, you've got a lot of Monday morning quarterbacking. You've got a lot of individuals who were not involved in the process coming out of the woodwork with all of their great ideas and how this could have been different. Saying things like, oh, the messaging needed to be better. This needed to be changed. That needed to be changed. And my immediate response to that was, well, where the hell were you for the last 3 months? I mean, if you know the day after the election that the messaging wasn't good, my plea to you this morning is then get involved and help fix the messaging. I mean, it infuriates me beyond belief to see immediate Monday morning quarterbacking from individuals who I didn't see involved in any sort, and I'm talking about local elections now, that I didn't see involved in the local elections in any way, shape, or form, saying what needed to be different, what needed to be better. And I find that incredibly annoying and frustrating, because if you truly knew what needed to be better, what didn't work, and what needs to change, and you knew it was going to fail, then why the hell didn't you say anything during the election? And let's just zoom out a little bit from this locally. There's a lot of discussion, and I talked about this yesterday. Everybody is outraged seemingly over growth and development, overdevelopment in Wilmington. We want to stop overdevelopment, and that is the reason that Republicans like Luke Waddell, Richard Collier, and Kelly Roberts lost. And while there might be some level of truth to that, let's not sit here and pretend that Republicans had a good night everywhere else throughout the state and throughout the rest of the country, and North Carolina, specifically the city of Wilmington election, was some sort of anomaly compared to the rule. Ladies and gentlemen, Republicans got their asses handed to them up and down the country on Tuesday night. This was not a Wilmington issue. This is not a North Carolina issue. This was across the board. So it is hard for me, and maybe it's not hard for others, but it's hard for me to sit here this morning and tell you, and I didn't do it yesterday and I'm not going to do it today because I don't have the answers. Nobody does. Anybody that says they do that, well, they need to get into the business of political consulting if that's the case, if they know truly exactly what went on and have the answers to all of the various questions that are being asked. Elections are, for the most part, and again, I say for the most part, every single election is unique. Every single election is different. They are not decided by one thing. Now, you can have big enough stories and big enough issues that they are. I don't think it's accurate to say that development and growth was the single issue in the Wilmington City Council election. Was it a big issue? Sure. Was it something that people care about? Absolutely. I'm not going to dispute that fact at all. But it was kind of interesting to watch individuals that I guess are self-described as Republicans being pissed off about overdevelopment and growth, who were actively working against Republicans to get elected. There seems to be some sort of disconnect here. And I made this point yesterday morning, and I'll make it again. Do you believe that the three Democrats that are now on council, the seven Democrats that will make up council as a whole, are you of the mindset that those individuals are going to stop growth and development? Do you believe that those individuals are going to stop rezoning within the city of Wilmington? I mean, I think you're high if you believe that's the case. It might sound good. They may have told people that, but it sure as hell isn't going to happen. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I'll be the first one to admit it. One of the things that I think has always separated me from many others in the media class is I don't have a problem being wrong. I try not to be wrong. I don't intentionally set out to be wrong on things. But I have been in the past. I will be in the future. And when that's the case, we move on from it. Acknowledge, figure out how to not, you know, make the same mistake over again, and then move on from it. For individuals that are so frustrated with Wilmington and its growth and development, my plea to you this morning is take a ride out to Charlotte, and you don't even have to go all the way to Charlotte, but take a ride out to Charlotte on 7476 and drive through all of the old manufacturing and old tobacco and production towns that exist in portions of central and eastern North Carolina. Just take a ride and look at the dilapidated buildings. Look at the level of poverty. Look at the lack of any sort of service available in many places across North Carolina. I get that traffic is frustrating. I get that sitting at an intersection for three light cycles at Oleander and College to get through is a pain in the ass. I get it. I'm not saying it's not a problem. This is something that I have repeated ad nauseum, and I would encourage you to repeat this to any individuals you're talking with that give you this pushback on growth and development. It is always better, and I mean always better, to be on the side of growth than on the side of decline or decay. Every single time. And if you don't believe me, again, take a ride out on 7476, drive about an hour and a half west of Wilmington, maybe 2 hours, turn around and come back and tell me that you'd rather be in those communities right now. No disrespect to our friends out west. No disrespect to the rural communities within the state of North Carolina. Great people that live out there. But tell me that that's where you want to live instead. You know, it's because there's such a level of irony. And one of the things that frustrates me beyond belief with this conversation is there is absolutely no consistency with it at all. None in terms of growth and development. Absolutely zero consistency. You have people at the same time that will say, we don't want any more growth. We don't want any more development. We want to put a stop to it, a moratorium on development. Okay. Those are the same individuals that you will hear complaining about the cost of rent or the cost of property. And I know that this isn't something that everybody wants to wake up and look at the reality on, but at the most basic level, the reason that costs are up for housing, whether you're talking about renting an apartment, buying a house, renting somebody else's house, purchasing a condo, whatever litany piece of development you want to look at, the reason that those costs are up is a basic, one of the most basic economic fundamental policies that exists. Supply and demand. Supply and demand. If you have more supply, you are able to meet demand and prices will either fall or moderate. One of the reasons that houses have exploded in value, one of the reasons that apartment rents continue to tick up is contrary to what is said on social media. I don't know where the hell these people are living. There is a supply and demand issue across the city of Wilmington in New Hanover County. More people want to be here than houses, structures, apartments that are available. And I get it. There's a frustration. Oh, there's too many luxury apartments. I'm game for all of that discussion. But you can't have the mindset consistently that you don't want any more growth and development, but then you are pissed off about how expensive your rent is. You're pissed off about how expensive your mortgage payment is. If you stop building, if you stop growth and you stop development, you are going to exacerbate the supply and demand issue. Nobody wants to hear this. And frankly, nobody is willing to say it. I have no problem saying it. And I'm going to be bluntly honest, and if this turns people off, whatever, I don't care, because I'm sick of it. It's been the same stupid, sorry-ass conversation for the last 4 or 5 years. people who have just moved to Wilmington bitching and complaining about traffic. Folks, you are the traffic. You are the growth. You are the infrastructure. You are the development. You just moved here. You can't have moved to River Lights 4 years ago from Maryland and go, wow, this traffic's really bad. There's too many people moving here. No shit, Sherlock. You are the traffic. You are the people moving here. You don't get to be the last person that moved into Wilmington and pull up the ladder behind you. I mean, that's not how it works. We live in a free country. People are allowed to move around as they see fit. And if somebody has the financial ability to move into the city of Wilmington, they have a right to do so. Now, we can discuss whether the city council or the county commission should continue to go through with rezoning requests, but that's a completely different discussion. I don't understand at the core the frustration over growth and development, because the people that complain about growth and development love the fact that there's a Trader Joe's. They love the fact that new businesses are opening, new shops are coming to town, new restaurants are opening. So you want all of the benefits of a growing area, which is great. It's nice to have two Targets now in Wilmington. It's a whole hell of a lot more convenient that people that live in the southern part of the county, that they don't have to drive all the way to New Center to shop at Target. Great. That only happens because there's an audience. That only happens because there is a population that can justify Target opening a second location within Wilmington. So you can't be in favor of the benefits that come from a growing area while at the same time saying, no more growth, we're going to cut it off. I don't get it. I'm frustrated by the traffic too. I hate that in the middle of the summer, it takes me an hour and a freaking half to get down to Carolina Beach. It's annoying. It's a huge pain in the ass. I get it. But we live in an area that people want to be. There's a reason that people are moving to southeastern North Carolina. There's a reason that people want to be here. You're not going to stop that. You don't get to decide, just because you moved here 3 years ago, you don't get to decide that other people can't follow you in. That's not how this works. The discussion and the conversation about this to me is maddening, because there's absolutely zero consistency with it at all. We like the benefits of growth. We like the shopping. We like the stores. We like all the great things that we can do in Wilmington, but we hate the traffic and we don't want anybody else to move here. Growth comes with growing pains. No question about it. I'm not going to pretend and act as if there are not issues with infrastructure that exist. But let's be perfectly clear and honest about how this problem gets solved. The way that North Carolina, it's different in every state, but the way that North Carolina handles its infrastructure is not ideal. It's not great. I'll be the first one to admit that. But that's the system that exists. And the only way that you get infrastructure projects essentially in North Carolina through the Department of Transportation, which is responsible for every single one of these projects, is through what is called the STIP. The State Transportation Improvement Program, STIP. Every single municipality across the state, every single roadway project across the state, from the Tennessee border to the Atlantic Ocean, Virginia to South Carolina, every single project gets put on a list and it is prioritized by the DOT under the STIP. And the STIP weighs in a variety of things that give various projects a different priority rating. And the reality is, and again, I don't like this, but it's the system that exists. Projects get completed after they are needed, plain and simple. The state does not have a good track record. DOT does not have a good track record of being forward-looking with projects. You see this everywhere, whether you're in Charlotte, Raleigh, Asheville, or here in Wilmington. The growth comes, then the DOT says, okay, it's time to expand. It's time to add an interchange. It's time to widen the road. All of that comes after the growth. And I get that it's frustrating. I get that sitting in traffic blows. I live here too. I'm not doing this show from some remote location. I live here too. I'm a resident of New Hanover County. I'm a taxpayer in New Hanover County. I get it. I sit through the traffic, same struggles as everybody else. I'm fully aware of it, completely understand it. But the argument to me is just incredibly inconsistent. And I'm sick of the and frustrated and annoyed with the Monday morning quarterbacking that, oh, growth and development is why Republicans lost in the city. You think J.C. Lyle is going to stop approving rezoning requests? She's all about affordable housing. And you might not like hearing this, but the fact of the matter is one that's pretty simple. Apartments are affordable housing. I know everybody hates apartments. I know that when you talk to people, oh, I'm so sick of seeing apartment complexes. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the most affordable housing that you can get. Now, you can debate me over whether a $1,700 a month rent is affordable, sure, but it's a whole hell of a lot cheaper than a mortgage payment. Apartments are affordable housing. Nobody wants to see those built. Everybody's pissed off about apartments. Yet everybody at the same time is clamoring for more affordable housing. You can't have it both ways. The two things cannot exist at the same time. Is the issue of growth and development a real one throughout the city of Wilmington, New Hanover County? Absolutely. Is it something that people talk about? Sure. But I don't know that there's a lot of, how do I put this nicely? I don't know that there's a lot of actual intellectual conversation going on. Just saying you're pissed off and you don't want any more people moving here, to me, is not a valid argument. To me, that is not a situation that I'm taking seriously. And I don't think candidates should either. Because it's not a consistent argument. And it's not something that, if you're being bluntly honest with yourself, the city council doesn't have control over. They don't get to approve whether somebody moves to the city of Wilmington. They don't get to approve whether somebody buys a house in New Hanover County. That's not how this works. We live in a free country. You are allowed to move around and do what you want. You don't have to get permission from the government to move to Wilmington. Now, you do have to get permission to rezone. And sure, are there some problems there? Sure. Should those be discussed? Sure. But for anybody that is of the mindset this morning that growth and development is going to slam on the brakes with this new 7-0 Democrat council, I have got really, really bad news for you. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Rezoning requests are going to continue to come in front of the city council, and they are going to continue to get approved. And you are going to see your taxes skyrocket so that the city of Wilmington can subsidize developers to build more affordable housing. That is what is going to happen. So you, the taxpayers in the city of Wilmington, not only is growth and development not going to stop, your taxes are going to continue to skyrocket to pay multi-million, if not billion-dollar developers to build luxury apartments in the city of Wilmington. So if you're of the mindset that you won in terms of the issue of overdevelopment on Tuesday night, I have got very bad news for you. It is very likely not going to work out in your favor. There are challenges with growth and development. There are challenges with infrastructure. I'm not admonishing any of that at all. But it is always better to be on the side of growth than on the side of decay. Don't believe me? Take me to task. Drive an hour and a half west of Wilmington on 74, 76 and tell me you want to live in some of those communities. Where the hot spot in town is a Bojangles and a Dollar General. Tell me that's where you'd rather live. I mean, you can. Nothing's stopping you from going out there. I'm not saying people need to move away. But if you don't think that, if you believe that that is a better situation to be in, then you have that opportunity. I don't want that. I like the services that are here. I like the fact that there's a mall. I like that there's places that I can shop. I like that there's places that I can go to eat. I enjoy that, and I think pretty much everybody does. Everybody takes advantage of those things. With that comes growth. With that comes development. Nobody wants to open or move a business to an area where there is not a population to suffice the business. That's just, again, simple, basic economics. And this notion and this concept that Republicans don't have the answer on development, I don't understand at all. This is a true bipartisan issue. Neither side has the answer on growth and development because there's really no answer. You can't stop people from moving to an area. You can try. I mean, I guess if the city of Wilmington wants to truly stop people from moving here, maybe they need to increase property tax rates by 500%. That'll probably have a pretty big impact. I mean, that would be a pretty good surefire way to stop people from moving to the city of Wilmington. Make it so incredibly unaffordable to live that nobody can afford to do so. So maybe that's the solution that you're after. So those individuals will just move into the county, Southern Pender, or over into Brunswick. That maybe that's what people are hoping for. Maybe that's the solution to the problem here. Just make it so unaffordable to live in the city that nobody can afford to do so. I think that's a pretty crappy idea as well. There is no nice, clean, easy, I have the solution answer to growth and development. It's a tricky issue. It needs to be managed, but don't for one second fool yourself that Democrats have a better answer on this problem. They don't. The election Tuesday night was a variety of factors and a variety of issues, and I think most importantly, Democrats over the last 12 months have not had a very good run at it. They have had all of their pet projects, they have had all of their issues at the federal level be demolished right in front of their very eyes, and they're pissed off, and rightfully so. Republicans were in the exact same boat in 2021 and in 2022. The Republican and conservative voters were pissed off. They were ticked off with what was going on in Washington, D.C., and pissed off voters get out and vote, plain and simple. Right now, the Democrats are pissed off. They don't like what's happening in Washington. They don't like what's happening across places in North Carolina. And so they're activated. They're ticked off. They're frustrated. They're engaged, and they're getting out and making their voice heard. Republicans didn't show up. They were complacent with what's going on at the, I believe, complacent on what's going on at the federal level right now. And that is a major problem. And it hopefully is something that Republicans will unfortunately have to deal with the really terrible consequences of the results of them not voting to hopefully make a change in 2 years when municipal elections come back around. It's a 7-0 Democrat council. They are going to govern 7-0 for at least 2 years until the next municipal elections. If you know the messaging that works, contact the city council candidates and get into a discussion with them. If you have the silver bullet, if you have the magic wand that would have won this election for Republicans, why the hell are you sitting on the sidelines? That's all I saw over social media yesterday, or a lot of what I saw. Oh, hopefully now they'll wake up. They need to understand this and understand that. I mean, that would have been helpful 3 months ago if you have all the pressing issues and answers to all of these problems. The reality is these people do not. But it's easy when you're not involved, when you're not backing a candidate, when you're not trying to get people out to vote, it's easy to sit back and say that you have all of the solutions to the problem. It is a typical issue within Republican circles. It's a typical issue with the so-called grassroots that exists within the GOP. They call themselves grassroots, but they're not involved in anything besides posting on Facebook, posting on X. That doesn't turn out voters. I'm sorry, folks. Is it a tool? Is it a strategy that can be used in association with other things? Sure. But posting on a private Facebook group with 1,000 members does not win you an election. You got to be willing to do, oh, I don't know, just maybe a little bit more than that. Maybe donate some time, donate some money. If you've got good ideas, get in front of the candidates. I mean, that's something that could actually make an impact. So I'll hop off my soapbox on that. It was a rough night for Republicans all across the country. I'm just not buying into this whole meme of, oh, Republicans just can't handle it. I'm not voting for Republicans because of overdevelopment. It's their fault. Well, folks, Democrats have a majority on the city council right now. They've had a majority on the city council for the last two freaking years. And the growth and development continues. So the city council makeup prior to Tuesday night was 5 Democrats and 2 Republicans. So if the Republicans are the problem on city council, then why are rezoning requests still being approved? Why are rezoning requests still going through the city council? There's 5 Democrats. They have more than enough votes to stop the overdevelopment if that's what your intention was with voting. The math just isn't there. It's not a salient argument, and it doesn't make any sense at all. So I'll continue to gather my thoughts. We'll continue to look at some post-election analysis. We'll be getting some numbers in the next couple of weeks from the Board of Elections. We'll get the final tally. The county canvass will be coming up on November the 14th. We'll get some additional data as we get into the month of December to really look at voter turnout, and we'll dig through it. We'll talk to people that are experts in this field, looking at this data, looking at these numbers, and trying to figure out why the hell Republicans didn't get out to vote. I mean, when the rubber meets the road, that's the issue that existed Tuesday night. Republicans did not show up, not just in Wilmington, not just in Charlotte, all across the state, and for the vast majority of the country. They just did not show up. And the end result is, well, if you don't show up, the other side wins. Plain and simple. That's how elections work. They're popularity contests. And Democrats won the popularity contest Tuesday night. If you think I'm dead wrong about this, if you think I'm living in some sort of alternate universe or some sort of alternate reality, let me know. Leave us a drop a comment on the YouTube video, comment on Rumble. You can send me a post or tweet on X at Nicholas M. Craig on X. You can comment on the Facebook page. Let me hear it. I love debate. I love discussion, and I love, you know, going through some of these political discussions to hopefully try and get to some sort of conclusion that is better for us on the right, that leads us in a better direction. So if you think I'm dead wrong about this, love to hear from you. Plenty of ways to reach out to the show and give your comments. Look forward to reading those, and hopefully, if so, bring a couple of those up on the air right here on the Nick Craig Show. All right, turning our attention to the national level, Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy has announced that at 40 major airports starting tomorrow, flight capacity will be reduced by 10%. We'll get into those details coming up here in just a couple of minutes. But before that, the Nick Craig Show is only made possible thanks to our great advertisers and supporters, including the Law Group right here in Wilmington. And I want to let you know that when legal challenges arise, make sure you put your trust in the Law Group. Since 2003, for now more than 22 years, their experienced attorneys have provided high-quality, affordable legal services across the eastern half of our state. Whether you're facing a divorce, navigating real estate transactions, or maybe you're in a position where you need a strong defense, the Law Group has your back. Their dedicated team ensures your questions are answered and issues are resolved as quickly as possible. Great news, they're located in our community, in our backyard, not some big national law firm. Give them a call, 910-251-6088, or visit their website, lawgroupnc.com. Give them a call, 910-251-6088, or visit their website, lawgroupnc.com. The Law Group, experience and dedication you can rely on. We appreciate Melissa Gott and the amazing team over at the Law Group for their continued support of the Nick Craig Show. All right, we'll grab a quick break. We'll transition over to what's going on over at the FAA and some major airports, including one here in North Carolina, coming up as the Nick Craig Show rolls on a Thursday morning, streaming live on YouTube, Rumble, X, Facebook, and available 24/7 wherever you get your podcasts. Good Thursday morning to you. Welcome back to the Nick Craig Show. Thanks for spending some time with us, whether that is live or via podcast. The government shutdown does continue this morning, day 37 of the federal government shutdown. Democrats in Washington, D.C. refused to vote for a clean continuing resolution that has now been sitting on the floor of the United States Senate for weeks now. And, you know, I was talking to a friend about this a couple of days ago. For the most part, and I will be the first to admit, I'm not a federal employee. In my immediate circle of people that I associate with, none of them that I'm aware of are federal employees. The shutdown, for the most part, has had minimal impacts. Now, if you are a federal employee, then there's no question about it. You are feeling the impacts. You are dealing with the impacts of that. No question about it. But for the vast majority of people that do not work for the federal government, the impacts have been incredibly minimal. That looks like it is starting to begin to change. There was a press conference yesterday held by Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy, in which he announced that flight capacities at 40 major U.S. airports will be reduced by 10% starting today as a result of issues with air traffic controllers and other federal employees that are continuing to call out sick and are not, of course, getting paid right now. They will get back pay, but not getting paid right now. And that list was just published earlier this morning. And here across North Carolina, here it is. Charlotte Douglas, a major hub, of course, in the state of North Carolina, is going to be experiencing some of those cuts, that 10% reduction in capacity. Charlotte Douglas is the only North Carolina airport, but if you look at this list of 40 airports that are looking at some of these reductions in service starting tomorrow, these are all of the major international airports. Four major ones in New York, LaGuardia, Teterboro, JFK, looking at some of those major cuts as well. Some big time airports for anybody that has got a travel plan starting tomorrow are likely going to deal with this. Estimates are that some 4,000 flights per day could either be heavily delayed or canceled due to this reduction at these major airports. And now the shutdown, which again, Democrats seemingly aren't going to move on, at least right now, is going to start having an impact on a much larger group of individuals. Sean Duffy at a press conference yesterday had this to say as it relates to the work of air traffic controllers. Here is Secretary Duffy.
In regard to air traffic control, we've had a conversation over the course of the last month about some of the challenges that we're having in the airspace. Many of you know that we are 2,000 controllers short, air traffic controllers short, and we have surged our academy to bring more controllers into our system. We are 20% up in controllers through the academy thus far this year. I've also offered air traffic controllers who are of the age of retirement a 20% upfront cash bonus to actually stay on. Some of the best controllers we have don't retire, keep working for us. All of that has been reducing the pressure on the staffing side of air traffic control. It's working, but it takes years to bring more well-trained, certified controllers into the airspace. The shutdown is having an impact on our ability to maintain those numbers and dent that 2,000 shortage that we have. You also know we're modernizing the airspace. We have an old set of equipment that we use to control America's airspace. We have, though, the safest airspace in the world. And that's not because of the equipment. That's because of the well-trained air traffic controllers that we have operating the national airspace. We received $12.5 billion from the Congress in one big, beautiful bill. And we need a total of $31.5 billion to accomplish the mission of completely rebuilding America's airspace. The work has begun. We're transitioning our telecommunications. We're about to announce a project manager to do all of the work for this brand new system. But I want to talk about what's happening over the course of the last month with regard to the shutdown. Our air traffic controllers and a lot of those who work at DOT, but throughout government, they haven't received paychecks. And many of these employees, they're the head of household. They have their spouse at home. They have a child or two or three. And when they lose income, they are confronted with real-world difficulties in how they pay their bills. And so for air traffic controllers, they received a partial payment in early October. The second payment, they got a big fat zero, no paycheck at all. Tomorrow, they get a pay stub email on what their next paycheck is going to be. And when that pay stub comes out, that is also going to be zero. So they will have gone a month without any pay. And what we're finding is that our air traffic controllers, because of the financial pressures at home, are taking side jobs. They need to put food on the table, gas in the car, pay their bills. By the way, I do not want them to take side jobs. I want them to show up for work. We have asked them to show up for work, but I'm not naive to understand that they're trying to figure out how they meet their daily obligations. And so because of that, we have seen staffing pressures throughout our airspace. Those who travel will see that we've had more delays. We've had more cancellations. We do not want to see disruptions at the FAA or here at DOT. We don't want that. But our number one priority is to make sure when you travel safely.
And so, you know, Secretary Duffy is making some strong points here when he's talking about he's not, you know, oblivious, and he understands the fact that, you know, these people haven't been paid in a month. And at a certain point, if you don't have a whole bunch of cash sitting in savings, you're going to have to do something to immediately have income coming in. Yes, these workers will get back pay, but back pay does not put food on the table right now. Back pay does not pay the mortgage that is was likely due here at the beginning of the month. It doesn't do those things. And this is what Democrats, I think, have been holding out and waiting for. They've admitted as much, that they know that there's going to be consequences. They know that there's going to be pain with this shutdown. And for, you know, the Democrat Party that consistently claims to care so much about the American populace, that claims to care so much about the American worker, they are putting these people through hell because they lost the November election last year. That's it. Plain and simple. They don't like that Donald Trump won in November. They don't like that Republicans were able to get and pass through the one big beautiful bill in July of this year. So they are now holding tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of federal employees hostage to get their wish list items, USAID, Corporation for Public Broadcasting, free healthcare, to get all of those wish list items back on the table. They are the ones that are responsible, and they are the ones doing this, plain and simple.
And that's why, as the administrator and I have been talking throughout the day, his team has been working for the last 24, 36, 48 hours crunching data. We're noticing that there's additional pressure that's building in the system. And again, our priority is to make sure that you're safe. And so we're going to talk about additional measures that we are going to take that's going to reduce the risk profile in the national airspace. And I'm going to turn it over to the administrator to do that as he walks through what that plan is going to look like. I anticipate there'll be additional disruptions. There'll be frustration. We are working with the airlines. They're going to work with passengers. But in the end, our sole role is to make sure that we keep this airspace as safe as possible. The administrator is going to talk about all of the tools we're going to deploy. One of them, though, is going to be that there is going to be a 10% reduction in capacity at 40 of our locations. The administrator is going to tell you that this is data-based. This is not based on what airline travels, has more flights out of what location. This is about where is the pressure and how do we alleviate the pressure. And so I want to thank him for, again, him and his team's great work. He'll lay out what the specifics are of this plan, and then we're happy to take questions from all of you. Brian Bedford.
So we don't need to listen to the administrator there. We got it from Secretary Duffy. I mean, this is a data-driven data-driven approach to reduce some 10% of on average, I should say, 10% at 40 major airports to try and keep up with the lack of controllers and lack of other employees and staff that are federal employees that work within either TSA or the FAA. And it's unfortunate that we are here. It is unfortunate that this is the position that we are at, but it is completely predictable. It is completely realistic to understand that this was what the result was going to be. Democrats knew this was going to be the case. Democrats talked about the fact that there were going to be some of these pains as it relates to the government shutdown. And here we are. This is the end result. It's unfortunate, sure. But I think everybody, or at least I was, and I think most other people, were of the mindset that this was what was going to happen. Now, how do we move on from here? There's something interesting, and I've got some insider information on this. It would appear that the Senate they could be setting up a vote either today or tomorrow to reopen the government. There's some information that I've been told that I've received that senators could be voting as early as today, maybe tomorrow, which is not normal. You'll note that the Senate typically does not vote on Friday. They're typically there Monday through Thursday, but could vote as early as today, if not tomorrow, to reopen the federal government. As this is now starting to affect the issue, some of these air traffic control flight issues are coming to the forefront. And now that the election is over with, Democrats had a banner night on Tuesday. Democrats had a hell of a showing in elections all across the country. And so now there's really, from my vantage point, less of an issue to keep this fight moving on. They just had a major election win two nights ago. And so I think that you are going to start seeing, and I've read some reports that Schumer and Jeffries were kind of working with their colleagues in the Senate to say, hey, just wait till after Tuesday night, which would prove the point more than anything else that this was nothing more than a political ploy. If, in fact, the Senate and a couple of, you know, five, six Democrat senators vote to agree on and pass this continuing resolution and reopen the federal government as early as today, it will prove unequivocally, without a doubt, that this was never about free healthcare for all. This was never about USAID. This was never about the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. This was always about elections. This was always about politics. Politics is a nasty sport. You've heard me say that a million times, and I'll say it a million more as long as I still have a platform to do so. Politics is nasty. Politics is dirty. Politics can be a really, really mean game. But this is the situation that Democrats have put us in. This is the situation that Democrats have forced down the throats of the American people, regardless of whether they like it or not. Now, I did just see, scrolling through, getting somebody just sent me this, the President Trump is expected to make an announcement at 11 o'clock this morning in the Oval Office at the White House. I don't know. There's no indication as to what this announcement's going to be. Is it government shutdown related? Is it economy? Is it economic related? It's not clear right now. But just getting that coming across my X feed this morning that the president is going to make some sort of announcement from the White House at 1 o'clock. Of course, he has been pushing and continues to push for senators in the United States Senate to nuke the filibuster and reopen the government without that. That is a risky thing. I understand why the president is doing so. I understand the purpose behind it. Question is that going to be worth it long term? So we'll have to wait and see what the president has to say and see exactly what goes on moving forward with that, as the shutdown is now in its longest ever. This is now the longest full federal government shutdown ever at 37 days, 36 days, 8 hours, 47 minutes, and 10 seconds. We will keep an eye on all of those details as we go through the day today and head into a Friday morning. So that's going to do it. A little bit of a shorter show today as we kind of get everything pinned back up and put back together from Election Day earlier this week. We'll continue to track the latest and track everything right here on the Nick Craig Show. I do want to thank the law group here in Wilmington for their continued support. Melissa Gott and her team, reach out to them at 910-251-6088 or visit them online at lawgroupnc.com. We're back here Friday morning, 7 a.m., streaming live, YouTube, Rumble, X, Facebook, and 24/7 wherever you get your podcast. We'll do it again tomorrow right here on the Nick Craig Show.